Welcome, everyone. Dr. Crafer, if you want to lead us in the pledge, please.
Go ahead and please join me.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. You may be seated. Good morning, board members. Any opening comments from any board members? Hearing none, we'll do a roll call.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chair Daniels in the room.
Senator Figueroa in the room.
Mr. Johnson, we see you online. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Ms. Kelly's in the room. Detective Crazier's in the room. Director Porfiri's in the room. Professor Robinson's in the room. Yeah. Sheriff Schuster, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Colonel Silbert's in the room. Ms. Weiss, I can see your picture. Can you hear us?
Yes, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So we have a quorum.
Good. You right back to you for your executive director's report.
Yep, I'll start with announcements. Just a couple things. Today we have a new face in the audience. Roberto Pulver is your IA for all our final action cases from the Attorney General's office. Mr. Pulver, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Just a couple things. If you notice, the parking lot was a little full out there. We have our executive leadership program. Joe Kuchuk Miller is our fourth iteration of that program. We have 33 students from all over the state. I was in there earlier doing an introduction. I talked to a handful of them. They're from all over, all four corners of the state. So really excited about that program and where it's going. And Chuck just does a phenomenal job, and Daniel Romero as well, bringing in outstanding instructors to come in and teach what I'll refer to as the future leaders of police organizations in Arizona. And just another thing I want to talk about, part of what Chuck does with these ELP classes is they're here, as you know, for 2.5 days this month, 2.5 days next month. That culminates their class. What he wanted to do is make sure that we stay connected to them from an Arizona Post perspective. So he does what he calls reprisals. So about 6 months out, normally from a different class, he'll send out an invitation to the class to come back, maybe virtually, and we'll provide some additional training. Our next reprisal is November 16th. It's going to be hosted here. It's actually going to be an executive program for the National Law Enforcement Roadway Safety Training Program. It's in conjunction with RIMMON. Really excited about that. It's been open, the registration, to not only come here in person, but also virtually. But again, it goes back to that. We don't want you to come to Arizona Post, get training, and then just go off on your own. We want to make sure that Arizona Post is always a resource for those up-and-coming executives. So those are our announcements. With that, sir, if no one has any questions, I'd be happy to go into my executive director's report.
Any questions?
Back to you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Last year, you approved us to move forward with the rulemaking process. Again, like I told you, it's an incredibly long and cumbersome process. Mike Gimarino and a few other staff members did a really good job working through that with our paid consultant. And on October 4th, we had our final meeting with the governor's review council, who approved all of the rules as written. They had a couple of questions on the first part of it, but with Mike's help, Mark's help, and Lori Waite's help on a base academy curriculum perspective, we were able to answer all their questions, and they unanimously approved the rulemaking. And just to give you a refresher, those are going to be where we no longer delineate between proficiency and continuing training. It's a six-month waiting period, so it'll more likely be sometime in early 2023. Training will just be 12 hours for every peace officer in the state of Arizona at the agency level. Also, we're getting out of class vetting, so we will no longer be vetting advanced officer training. That is going to go back to the agency's discretion on what the head of that agency believes their men and women need to be successful in their respective communities. And then just to give you a heads up, this is a never-ending process, much to Mike Gimarino's chagrin, but we'll be coming back to you probably next month asking for you to allow us to move forward with additional rulemaking. And just so you know, how that comes up is questions that our compliance specialists field, our training specialists field, both on advanced and basic, and questions that I get when I travel around the state talking to police leaders in different organizations. They always have feedback for us, and we solicit that feedback. We want to make our product better. We want to make ourselves more accessible. So that's why I'll be coming back to you with some suggested proposed rule changes, asking for your permission to move forward through that very cumbersome process. I'd just like to go over each one of our groups here and all the work they do. They do so much on a daily basis, and I just want to make sure you guys are aware, the board is aware of everything that these folks have done on your behalf. So just to cover a couple of high-level things, compliance. If you look at your agenda, you'll see we have three new cases. I will argue in the 4 years I've been here, that's the smallest number of cases. One might lead you to assume that that means they're not working. That is, couldn't be farther from the truth. What I'll tell you is, based on the direction support you gave us, we now have two compliance managers, we now have 10 compliance specialists, and they are so in touch with their caseload, they're so on top of it, that you're going to start probably seeing a smaller number of cases come to you each month, because you'll no longer see those 1 or 2 year old cases lingering out there. We're getting every case to you. Well, we set a goal for ourselves at 6 months. You're seeing them well in advance of 6 months in most cases. So they're just doing a phenomenal job. I couldn't be more proud. Compliance also hosts a BI school 1 or 2 times a year. We hosted one last month. We had about 40 attendees in person, and we had about 70. So we had over 100 people attend that basic background investigator school last month, or actually this month. So it was really, really well received. And just the last thing for compliance, through Mike G. Marino and Sean, they'll be working with a third-party vendor to teach a basic internal affairs investigation school early in November. And right now we have 30 seats available, with only actually one open now, because we have 29 people that have already registered for that. We try to assist our outlying agencies to come into Phoenix and get that 40-hour class on basic internal affairs investigations. So really happy that it's no cost other than housing for any of the students to attend that class. Basic training, they're all in the back. Lori's in a class this week, but they continue to work with our academies. As you know, we now have 17 statewide academies, so it's a pretty heavy lift. So they've been going on, they've completed almost all of those audits for the year. We still have one open. I'll probably be discussing that at next month's board meeting, the one we still have open. But other than that, the other 16 have all been closed. They're still heavily, if you go back to their office, you'll see they're heavily entrenched in the basic academy curriculum rewrite. It's an incredibly heavy lift, very timely, and they're putting in a lot of effort to that. And just so you know, I think I notified you last month, but we made a shift in our terminology. For years, people in different proficiency skills were notified or were labeled as subject matter experts. We decided that just wasn't reflective of what that meant. So we've changed that from subject matter expert now to master instructor, because what we are certifying is that person is an expert in teaching our curriculum. Use driving, for example. They're a master instructor for the Arizona Post curriculum in driving. We can't say they're a subject matter expert in driving, but they are a master instructor for our curriculum. So we made that shift. We notified all the agency heads, we notified the board, and we notified all of those master instructors. And we've had a very good response to that. Most people told us it was a long time coming, and they welcomed the change. Advanced training, we just finished our 9th, I believe, BLA last week in Scottsdale. That's taught by Ron Bain all over the state, and we're trying to do 9 to 10 of those every year. Our calendar is already full for 2023, which is amazing, and we're already starting to book basic Leadership Academy classes for 2024. Again, it's really well received. It's funny, if I knew better, I would say Ron Bain completes his own surveys on his performance, because they're glowing every time, and it's really fascinating to read how he connects with 30 to 35 people in a room in a week's period of time, but we just get an incredible feedback. So thank you for your support in paying for those classes. And just to give you a heads up, I've talked about our field training leadership, our first level of leadership training. We were having some problems the last couple classes with FTOs being able to be away from their agency for a week. It was just too cumbersome for the agencies to have that kind of loss for a week, because we would do 3 days through NAFTO, and those FTOs would then become nationally certified, and then we would do 2 days at Arizona Post Leadership. In talking to agency heads around the state, FTOs, training coordinators, that NAFTO certification was more important to them than the leadership portion of it. Again, I would love to get back to that, but as of right now, we're making a shift, so our future FTO classes will just be 3 days, and they'll be focusing primarily on getting that national certification to become a field training officer. Then moving on to technology, I always feel like they get lost in the bunch, but without them, nothing would work here. Dan and Cindy just do a phenomenal job, and I'm really impressed with what they do. They continue to improve our internal systems, and Brian Coppins, we brought on several months ago, has been going into the database And again, as you know, our internal system was created here by our former chief technology officer, and it needed updating. So they're going through and making it the latest and greatest technology for database data protection, data organization, as well as data collection. So they continue to work behind the scenes to make sure this place runs. We had a recent release for our system that communicates with agencies on the back end. Went off without a hitch. Dan and Brian were in here. I think Cindy was in here. They were in there on a Sunday to release it, and it went off without a hitch. So, again, all the work they're doing behind the scenes is making it easier for us to connect with all of our agencies. And finally, I'd be remiss if I didn't recognize Sandy, Lynn who's not here, and Leslie at the front desk. You all know they are really the glue that keeps this place together. I don't think the lights would be on now if it wasn't for the three of them. So with that, I'll end my executive director's report, and I'm happy to take any questions that the board might have.
Thank you, Matt. Any questions, comments? I'll say this, and this is, I don't know how many years total I have on this this board, but working with three directors and staff members for all of you that have been on here, I'll tell you, and this is no slam to any past directors, please don't read that, but when it comes to efficiency, effectiveness, it's amazing what you all do. It truly is. And Matt, thank you for your leadership and the culture you've built here, because it does. I mean, you look at anybody, whether it be us as board members or law enforcement that's come in front of us or attorneys, whoever it may be, they're coming here with confidence. They're coming here with trust and most of all, equality when it comes to coming in front of this board. So thank you, Matt, for what you've done. I just told him that when I met with him before this meeting today. I always meet with him before as a chair, but I told him how impressed I was with him. And that's funny how you bring it up and recognize your staff today. But thank you all. You've done an amazing job for this state and all law enforcement in the state, even those that make mistakes, I would say that. So thank you, Matt, and thank you to all the team here. And I'll yield to members and the comments here. So that said, then we'll move on to the consent agenda. I'll entertain a motion unless there's discussion.
Jamie Kelly, I move to accept the consent agenda.
Thank you, Jamie. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Colonel. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, say I'm saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you, Sheriff. All opposed, say you say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next item, agenda E. Phoenix Police Department petition for Chief Michael Sullivan. Mr. Bachtel, good morning. Good seeing you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, board members. Mark Bachtel with the Attorney General's Office. This is a petition being presented by the City of Phoenix. The petition is on behalf of Michael Sullivan, who is a former Deputy Police Commissioner with the City of Baltimore. The petition is asking the board to grant a restricted certification to Chief Sullivan. In the petition, it describes the work restrictions which will be placed on Chief Sullivan. This includes not placing himself in a situation likely to result in the use of physical force. That's all I have at this point. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Rangel. Questions, comments? If not, I'll yield to membership for discussion and or a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Lisa? I move that the board grant. Sorry, wrong one.
It's early.
I'm fast here. I move that the board grant the waiver as requested from the Phoenix Police Department.
Thank you, Lisa. Do I hear a second?
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Do I need to go for the specific role, Mr. Bracken?
I would recommend that it would be in the board communication.
Okay. Based upon the information submitted by the City of Phoenix and pursuant to Rule 13-4-103G, I move that the board grant a restricted police officer certification to Chief Michael Sullivan. The certification restricts Chief Sullivan from being assigned any duty likely to result in the need to apply physical force.
Thank you, Lisa. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Colonel. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Mr. Brack, go back to you for item G, Wickenburg Police Department petition for applicant. Eliza Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mark Brack on behalf of the AG's office. This is a petition by the Wickenburg Police Department. The applicant is Mr. Ezra Boone. During the hiring process, the applicant disclosed that while he was in high school, he consumed dangerous or narcotic drugs a total of 7 times. And while in high school, he sold small amounts of marijuana. And this conduct occurred during the years 2013 and 2014. Currently, Mr. Boone is not a suitable candidate under your rules because he does not meet two minimum qualifications. First, in order to be appointed to or attend an academy, an individual must not have consumed a narcotic or dangerous drug more than five times. And second, an individual must not have sold marijuana. The board's analysis should proceed under Rule 103G. The board should consider if the best interests of the law enforcement profession are served and the public welfare and safety are not jeopardized. I understand that an XO with Wickenburg PD is here and present to present the petition.
Thank you, Mr. Rackle. Chief Brown?
Yes.
Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, board members. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of Ezra Boone. So as, you know, as I'm sure all the chiefs here can attest to, that no one wants to hire somebody who's going to be a problem down the road. We've just experienced that several times. But in defense of Mr. Boone, his brother's on the department as well, got hired. And during a period of time, he's had a very rough childhood, family life. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that's the where he was raised during that time. His brother was in our Explore program. His brother saw this kind of pattern, what was happening, not a lot of support from the family, mom and dad. Dad was got a very bad criminal history and absent. So he brought him into the Explore program. During that time, he was outstanding Explorer, had no issues whatsoever. When he turned, his brother got hired onto the police department, his older brother. When he got old enough, he realized at the time that it was probably not going to have an ability to be a police officer. And that was our assessment and even our choice as a department and my choice not to even offer him the opportunity to go in front of you guys for a waiver. I think he needed a little more experience and just some life, you know, better life choices and a little more experience. So we actually hired him as one of our dispatchers for the last 2 years. He's probably been one, if not the best dispatcher we've hired. He was completely 100% prepared to move forward with that profession as serving the community instead of being a police officer. That's what his dream has been, to be a police officer, but he was prepared. It may not happen. So over this period of time, he's really set the example of an outstanding employee. And to be fair, not trying to minimize his conduct, but when you're a 15-year-old kid and the people you're selling to are your friends, as they're taking turns buying marijuana and selling marijuana to each other, not going out and selling it to make money, to not lose money because he didn't have an income at the time, or he was, you know, given very minor, a little bit amounts of money to survive and didn't have a lot of ability and support from home. He just didn't want to lose it, and he was going back and forth between his friends. So, again, my personal, I didn't feel it was right to come up and actually offer this or talk to you about this or even present this to you a couple of years ago. I think at this time, I'm completely willing, based on his behavior and his pattern, his work ethic at this point, and what he's done for our community, to actually offer the opportunity for him to extend my weight on my shoulders and the experience and my ethical standards to present it to you to see if we can get him a waiver to go to the academy. He's here now. If you want to ask him questions, he's more than willing to come up. He was completely honest during the whole process. It was not something he went to, they found out more information prior to the polygraph. He was completely upfront during the entire background investigation.
Thank you, Chief. Any comments, questions? I do have one for Mr. Brackle. And Chief, I appreciate you being here today. Mr. Brown, I appreciate you being here too. And I also respect the age thought behind all this, but I do have a question on the sale. Have we ever done a waiver for
I'm sorry.
Have we ever done a waiver for a sale offense? I don't recall my time here. We have. And that's where I'm tripped up a little bit on this.
Maybe I could look over to the ED, and I'm trying to recall a couple of cases involving the middling of marijuana versus the sale of marijuana.
Correct. I am not aware of one where the board has granted a waiver for selling marijuana. I know there's been cases where two friends bought $10 worth of marijuana, and one friend handed the $10 bill over, and then the other friend gave him $5 to offset the cost. But I can't think of one off the top of my head where the board has given a waiver for the sale of any type of drug.
And that's a spark in my review of these documents. I'll get back to my memory.
My question would be along those lines then. The situation where, do we have the specifics? I mean, was he dealing, or was it a situation where the four kids gave money to go buy the marijuana, and then he came back and gave him the marijuana? You know, is it? I know we're splitting hairs, but I think that's been our differentiation.
It has.
And maybe can I have him just speak to him?
Sure. And Mr. Chairman, if I could, Mike Delton, our longest-standing compliance specialist, says he thinks the board has granted a waiver in the past.
For juvenile discretion under that rule.
For sale?
Yes.
Okay.
Depending on the context.
Okay.
But just for the record, juvenile indiscretion would not be applicable in this matter because it has not been 10 years since this incident occurred.
Right.
Thank you, Mike.
Mr. Moore, welcome to our post board, and I'll yield to the coroner's question to you.
Well, I was just trying to get clarification. You've been through probably a pretty arduous process here, but just is this situation where you were buying a significant volume of dope and then selling it, or is this a deal where your friends knew you knew somebody giving you the money, you knew where to go get it, you get it, then bring it back to them type thing?
Yeah, it's basically like that. I really like how he had worded it. I don't know what specific word he used, but kind of like friends amongst friends doing stuff, so it was never me doing it for kind of personal gain. It was just kind of like, you know, somebody, in our friend group, if somebody had some, we kind of dispersed it amongst ourselves and we kind of mixed it around. Yeah, so it was never like large scales of anything. It was always just kind of commingling between friends, or like, yeah, if I were to go pick something up to bring back to our friend group or vice versa, that's kind of how we worked everything out together.
Okay, I just have one more question. So you were 15, 16 around when this happened?
Yes, sir.
That age range? Can you tell us, just so we can kind of grasp it, how old were you and what was your conversation basically with your brother that brought you into the Explorer program? And from the time you got into the Explorer program, was there a significant change? Just tell us where your head was.
So when I first started using marijuana, that was just kind of like, I guess, my life, and that was just kind of what I was very involved with. Before I had entered the Explorers program and before I kind of reached out and showed interest in that, I kind of, I didn't like my friends as much, and I didn't like where we were going, so I just kind of slowly stopped hanging out with them, and I slowly stopped using marijuana, and I just kind of faded myself out of that life, and then I found Explorers after that to kind of fill the gap of, you know, what I didn't have with my friends at that time. So when I reached out to my brother, because he's always been involved with that, and we, like, I had taken something out of my life, and I didn't know where I wanted to take it, so when we actually started talking about, like, where Explorers could go, that's what I found to fill my life with, if that makes sense.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for anyone, Mr. Bill, Mr. Bracco, or the chief? Here none, Mr. Bill, you can have a seat. Thank you for being here today. Discussion or entertain a motion?
I'll make a motion. I don't know how specific I have to get on this motion, but I'd make a motion based on the specificity of this situation alone and his age, what transpired, did we accept the waiver for Mr. Boone? You able to be a law enforcement officer in the state of Arizona?
You want to drop the rule?
No. You want me to do it over
yeah.
officially? All right. I move that the board grant the Wickenburg Police Department petition on applicant Cindy. Hold on.
Ezra.
That ain't the right one.
Ezra, no, I'm sorry. Here it is. Ezra Carey.
Thank you.
Sorry. My bad.
All right. I move that the board grant the Wickenburg Police Department petition on applicant Ezra Boone based on Rule 13.4.103G.
Thank you, Colonel. Do I hear a second?
A second.
Thank you, make it effective. Any discussion, Mr. Branko? Did you want to come?
Anything further, Chair?
Mr. Chairman. Any discussion from board members? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, so you are saying aye.
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 All opposing say nay. And Chair
Nay.
Who is that?
Mr. Johnson.
Oh, Mr. Johnson, okay. I was like, where'd that come from? All right.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
May I make a comment real quick?
Yeah, let me conclude the vote, okay. If I could. And Chair will vote aye. Motion carries. Back to you.
Mr. Boone, I would just like to say that I'm going to speak on behalf of the board, but we're putting a lot of trust in you to make some very good decisions, and we hope that we'll see you at your retirement.
Thank you, Jamie, and we wish you well. We wish you grow from your teenage years into your adult world. So, it means a lot when a chief shows up here, but it also means a whole lot when you're here. Okay, so good luck to you on that. Mr. Backer, back to you. Next agenda item, which will be Wickenburg Police Department petition for applicant Sidney Titus Fordingham. Mr. Backer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Mark Blackdoll on behalf of the AGs. This is a petition by the Wickenburg Police Department. The applicant is Mr. Sidney Titus Fordingham. During the hiring process, Mr. Fordingham disclosed that when he was 18 years old, that he filed a false report with the police department and subsequently collected insurance proceeds. This incident occurred 11 years ago when Mr. Fordingham was 18 years old. Currently, he is not a suitable candidate under your rules. His actions when he was 18 years old are offenses of dishonesty and are in violation of Rule 109A7. The XO, Chief Brown, submitted his petition pursuant to Rule 103G, and the board's analysis should proceed under Rule 103G. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Branko. Chief Brown, do you want to address this, please?
Yes, thank you, board members. Sorry, this is two in one day. I haven't had I've never had to come up, so this is an interesting two in one day. But I will say, in this situation, what I understand, and I would definitely let Sidney talk to the situation itself, but he was an 18-year-old kid. He bought a vehicle, I guess, at that time that it had been damaged or something happened to a convertible roof on it. He had a friend at the time who encouraged him to file a report saying that somebody had damaged his vehicle so he could file an insurance to get the roof fixed because it, I guess, was inoperable. At the time, he did file it, took his friend's advice, filed the report, and then realized that the money that he would have gotten, it was not even going to be close to the amount that would actually do anything to fix the roof. It was like $200 or something of that nature. So he was completely forthright in his background. There's no other drug history. There's nothing else in his background that would lead me to believe that he would be an unsuitable candidate. What I know of Sidney, just being around him, he seems like a pretty upstanding guy. He's done, he's all his employers that we've talked to have all encouraged and said that they would hire him back. He's been an outstanding employee. He's never been in trouble, never had issues, and seems like a very upstanding person. 18 years old. I know there's this, you know, he would have qualified for the juvenile waiver if he'd done it, I think, 3 months prior to, and he was 17, he was 18 years old. And I would still say, as a juvenile, 18 years old, you're really not an adult. Maybe on paper, but we all know I've got four kids, one is a police officer, but the other one, you know, made a lot of mistakes for a period of time. At 18 years old, he was still screwed up. Did some stupid things, nothing criminal, but stupid things that you all want to go back for. So I would encourage you allow Mr. Cindy to come up and explain the situation to you before you make your decision. But I appreciate the time letting you to represent Tom Cummins. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions for the Chief before he steps down?
No.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Sir, you want to step up and address the board wherever you're at? Yes. Good morning.
Morning. Thank you, Chief. I don't have any excuse for my action. It was something that I wish I never did. Your life is based on the things that you do, the actions that you take. Being 18, I don't even give the age that much of an excuse, but, you know, taking influence from somebody else, you know, as soon as the situation happened, knowing it was wrong, and then kind of living with it afterwards, reaching out to the insurance company to try and make it right. Although it's been some years since then, they appreciated the effort, but they don't even have record of it anymore. Following the incident, I knew right away it was something that I shouldn't have done. My mindset wasn't, I want to become a police officer. It was, I want to be a race car driver. I love cars. It was something that I'm very passionate about. I had some traffic issues as well. So getting speeding tickets, getting in trouble at a younger age, I didn't realize the effect it might have later on. So I'm 30 now. I've applied a few times to different agencies. This stuff has come up where, you know, we're not looking for perfect people, we're looking for honest people. So I go in, I put it all on the table, and each agency is looking for that special someone. As soon as I found Wickenburg, they gave me the opportunity to at least go through backgrounds, and then they moved me forward to polygraph. So I went through the process. What I want to get out of law enforcement is helping somebody that is at that younger point in their life where they're not necessarily thinking about, I'm 18 right now, I do this and I want to be whatever later on. You don't have to be a police officer, but, you know, driving wise, if I want to be a mailman, if I want to drive a UPS truck or a truck driver, you have to have a good driving record. You have to think about these things as they're happening now, so that way when you're 30 years old, you know, you're not in the same position I was. That's what I hope to get out of this. It's been a dream now for a couple of years. Changing your behavior is one thing, but changing your life, changing the people that you hang out with, what you find important in life. I found that. I volunteered in Washington State with an agency, and I thought that was my forever place, and it didn't work out as far as getting hired, but it was still an amazing experience to connect with the community, and I feel like my month and a half of working with Wickenburg, doing ride-alongs and being out with the public, I see that in the town, so that's what I hope to accomplish.
Thank you. Any comments, questions?
Mr. Chair, I have a comment.
Good.
Mr. Sibu, I just want to ensure that we underscore a comment that you made that doesn't get missed, which is that through this process, you reached back out to the insurance company to try to make amends with regards to your behavior. And I will also note that though the youthful indiscretion application might not apply in this case, the state of Arizona has concluded through this board and this process that someone's not ready to be a police officer until they're 21. So to that point, he's too youthful to be a police officer, but he doesn't have the youthful indiscretion issue available to him. And I just make note of that at 18 years old.
I appreciate it.
Any other questions, comments? Very nice. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you being here. Discussion for board members? comment. Number one, a couple things that are coming to my mind. Number one, you were an adult, 18. Welcome to the magical number. I wish somebody could stand next to you and talk to you about those indiscretion thoughts and those decisions you make, but you own them. Second of all, we are an integrity board. We are an integrity board. And besides that, it goes into a pretty serious crime onto that aspect. So, no time has traveled. 12 years later, you're here to apply, but that's a serious offense in my mind. So. Any further discussion? If not, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Joe, for free, I move the board grant the Wickenburg Police Department petition on applicant Sidney Titus Birmingham based on Rule 13-4103G.
Thank you, Director. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chair, I second.
Lisa's second. Thank you, Lisa. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signal saying aye.
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 All opposed, signal saying nay.
Nay.
Aye.
Saying, do you want to count? Are we good? And chair votes nay.
Mark Bracto, I thought I heard several nays. Could we do a voice?
Yeah, I would recommend. All in favor, let's do it again. All in favor, please repeat, signal saying aye. Hearing.
Aye.
Hold on.
Before
can you
the final vote?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before sure. I test my final vote, because I just had one question that came to my mind. Is it okay to go back and do some follow-up?
Absolutely.
That's
yeah,
one
sure.
question I want to ask. You noted several agencies you applied with didn't hire him. Is this the only issue that is causing the challenge or the consternation of the agencies in which they're not hiring him? Is this the only issue that's come up?
Yes, please.
You mentioned you applied with several agencies and then worked for an agency in Washington, but is this the only agency or the only issue that they're having with your background?
Sure. Driving history. I have speeding tickets. I had a reckless driving in 2014 for drifting around a corner. Those things people have looked past each time. Time in between when I had any sort of traffic history versus time I'm applying. That's usually, from what I've heard, it hasn't been an issue. But the filing false police report has been the factor.
Okay, so there's still 8 years ago, you're saying, so the last issue you had with law enforcement was a driving issue?
Yes.
Related to speed?
Reckless driving, yeah.
Well, hold on. Reckless driving's a criminal charge?
Yes, sir.
So... Were you charged criminally for the reckless driving?
It was a misdemeanor reckless driving in Washington. I don't know how court correlates in Arizona.
Okay, and then were you hired by an agency in Washington?
I was a volunteer with the city of Renton.
But then you applied to be a law enforcement officer there.
Yes.
So it wouldn't have been just the insurance that precluded the insurance issue, fraud case. It would have been the In addition, would it have been, were you convicted of the reckless driving?
Yes, sir. I just say that because a lot of times what I've heard is that they can't tell me.
Yeah, they won't tell you. That's why I'm trying to discern. Okay, and then in that eight-year span, expanse since 2014,
yes, sir.
Has there been any other issues?
Absolutely not.
Okay, and... you're 31 now?
30, almost 31, 30. Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're 30 now?
Yes, sir.
So you're 22?
Yes, sir, 22, 23.
Before I bring my final vote, you can jump in there. Let me know which way you're going to go. We'll do a roll call. Sandy, for all of them.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, Mark Reichel. Just in light of the additional information that was just provided, if Director Profuri wants to withdraw his motion, I believe he made the motion, if you'd like to or not, we state it in the record.
My motion stands. That motion being that, stand by. I move the board grant the Wickenburg Police Department petition on applicant Sidney Titus Sportingham based on Rule 13-4103G.
Thank you, Director. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman,
Commander, I got the second for the Commander. Go ahead, Sheriff.
I apologize. I was trying to get with you right after the Colonel spoke. I did also have a question for the applicant, but I must be having some phone issues.
Okay, we have the a motion and a second, so we're in discussion.
Sure.
Let me go back to Mr. Brackett. Can we go back into that in discussion at this point?
If the individual who made the motion, Director Profuri, would like to withdraw his motion so that additional questions can be asked, that would be appropriate.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be glad to withdraw my motion and yield the floor to the Sheriff.
All right. That is unique. That's unique. Sheriff, is that a question that only the applicant can answer, or is that something the board can discuss?
Something for the applicant, direct.
All right. Since we're dealing with somebody's career, I'm going to yield and back to the director's request to withdraw. So at this time, Sidney, if you want to come back up for the sheriff's, and I'll commit to everybody in the room, we will go to the vote after this.
Sheriff, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I'm sorry for the misstep there, Mr. Chair. Just for the applicant, in the mention of the agencies that you did test for, I want to be clear that you were honest and you disclosed the information during those testing cycles, or did you learn that you would be ineligible and sense of comfort and truthful about that incident?
Absolutely. Sheriff, every time this has come up or I've gone through a background, I start first and foremost with the things that I think are going to hinder me. So my driving and the police report, I've always been honest with that. I made sure that my background investigator in Wickenburg had as much contact info as he could with any other background investigator that I've dealt with, any agency that I've sent a background packet to, just to try and do my part to ensure that the detective post has all the information that they would need or want to try and make a decision.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any last questions before we go to the motion? All righty. Let's rock.
Director,
back to you.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that the board move to grant the Wickenburg Police Department petition on applicant Sidney Titus Sportingham based on Rule 13-4-103G.
Thank you, Director. Thank you, Lisa, for the second. Now we're in discussion. Any further discussion with members? Hearing none, I call for an audio vote from Sandra.
Commander Figueroa?
Stay.
Mr. Johnson?
Nay.
Ms. Kelly?
Nay.
Detective Crazier?
Aye.
Director Profuri?
Aye.
Professor Robinson?
Aye.
Sheriff Schuster?
Aye.
Colonel Silver?
Aye.
Ms. Weiss?
Aye.
Sheriff.
And Chair Brett's nay.
Motion passes.
I wish you well, sir. I hope this is a unique opportunity from this board. I will say that. I wish you well. Chief, thank you for being here. All right. We'll move on. Next agenda item, final action cases. First case 2022-039. Mr. Grand, over to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Since the time of this matter has been agendized, the respondent, Mr. Antone, has hired counsel, Mr. Thomas Griffin, who is present. I do not believe the respondent is present, but since this is the response request, I would refer opening remarks to the respondent's counsel. It's his request, so it's his burden. So I would yield the floor to Mr. Griffin.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Doran. Mr. Griffin, good morning. Welcome to Poston.
Good morning.
The floor is yours.
Morning, thank you. Mr. Antone, he recently tested positive for COVID, so he is, I believe, on the live stream.
Oh, okay.
I'm here on his behalf requesting a hearing in this matter of the revocation of his certificate. And the reason is he wasn't aware, he didn't receive the notice to request a hearing the initial time. This case has been somewhat briefed, first by Mr. Antone, and then Mr. Duran filed an opposition. And in that opposition, it states that Mr. Antone actually received the document, and he signed the document, and he attaches what he believes is Mr. Antone signing the document. That document actually shows otherwise. It's the exhibit to the opposition. It's signed. So the applicant is Adrian Antone. It's signed by his daughter, Adriana Antone. They're estranged. He didn't receive the notice. He didn't know the notice was signed for until he received the opposition to the motion. At my request, he provided me a document sent to his daughter at the address where it was signed. He signed. He provided me her birth certificate showing that he's her father. I've addressed this with Mr. Duran. I provided the document to Mr. Duran. I have copies for each of the board members if you would like those. Due process requires a fair hearing at a fair time. And if he knowingly waived his right to that, then he shouldn't have that opportunity. He didn't waive his right to that. As soon as he found out about the issue, he has raised this. When I spoke to Mr. Duran, and this isn't in any of the motions because it came up on Friday in our discussion, he said he thinks he was following on the live stream, or somebody was following the live stream, because he called the compliance specialist as soon as it happened. News to me, so I talked to Mr. Antone, and what he told me was an investigator from his agency was watching it, called his commander, who called Mr. Antone and said, call him immediately. So he called them immediately, and that's the first time he went. He knew that there was a process going on. He knew that there was going to be some action taken against him, maybe. He never received the notice to request a hearing. And all that he's doing is asking for a hearing.
Does Mr. Duran want to... Not Mr. Duran. Sorry. Mr. Antone want to address the board? Anybody want to hear from Mr. Antone? Or do you wish he speaks?
Mr. Antone, can you hear us?
Yeah, I might.
Do you want to address the board?
That looks like my due process. I did not know about the hearing on that day, and I just wish that to be heard regarding my incident.
All right, thank you. Thank you, sir. Mr. Graham, back to you for...
I won't bother repeating everything that is included in my written opposition, but this whole case basically focuses on service. The statutes that govern service and administrative proceedings, as I mentioned in my opposition, is ARS 41-1092-04. And I'll read that just so it's very clear to the board what the standard for notice is. Unless otherwise provided in this article, every notice or decision under this article shall be served by personal delivery or certified mail, return receipt requested, or by any other method reasonably calculated to affect actual notice on the agency and every other party to the action, to the party's last address of record with the agency, and each party shall inform the agency and office of any change of address within 5 days of the change. This agency absolutely fulfilled the requirements of the statute in providing notice to Mr. Antone. Going back to the board rules, the board may grant a rehearing under very specific circumstances, as I articulated in my motion, pursuant to Rule 13.4.118G. The respondent has not indicated that any of those legal reasons are present in this case. The statutes, the rules, and the case law fully support the state's argument that in this case the respondent was provided notice that the board had initiated proceedings as required by law, and the respondent never requested a hearing during the time period allotted. The respondent's claim that he never received the notice is simply not believable, members of the board. AZ Post staff fully complied with the law, as I mentioned. The letter was picked up, it was signed for. The letter sent via regular mail was not returned to AZ Post.
And I'll respond to my colleagues' comments. I find that what most compelling is literally minutes after the board voted to revoke certification, the respondent personally calls Ms. Blanco on her cellular phone inquiring about it. And Ms. Blanco's cell phone number is not listed on the Post website, but it was on the notice of complaint that the respondent received. It is reasonable to believe, obviously, that the respondent, or perhaps someone at his agency, was watching the live stream. But why were they watching the live stream? Because his case was up for final action before the board. This defeats the notion that the respondent had no idea that the board had initiated proceedings or that the board was hearing his case for final action on the 17th, the day listed in the complaint that was sent to him and only to him. The agency was not notified that this would be a final action case on the 17th, only the respondent was. And I would also point out, in this correspondence, the respondent included an attachment from Gila River Healthcare, I believe, just verifying the fact that on the day this incident occurred, he did have alcohol in his bloodstream after his conduct was detected at the shooting range. So I'll simply request that the board deny the request for rehearing because the respondent has not provided a legal basis that calls into question the board's decision or warrants any further proceedings. The board should uphold this prior decision and deny the respondent's request.
Thank you, Mr. Durant. Any questions from members? Anybody on the phone? Any questions? Mr. Anton, I have a question. I have a question for you. Were you aware that the board was hearing your case in August?
No, I was not. I was aware that there were initial proceedings, but I didn't know it was going to be that day. I was actually at work. I was actually on duty when I got the call, and I didn't call Michelle Blanco's cell phone. I called AZ Post, who sent me her voice email. Michelle Blanco called me afterwards. She called me on my phone.
So, Mr. Anton, you were, just to clarify, you were aware that this body had initiated proceedings, reference your certification?
Yes.
Did you make any attempt to contact AZ Post to discuss that, whether you or through your legal?
No, I was under the impression that they wouldn't get hold of me as far as getting my side, interviewing me. So I was waiting on them. The anguish that was given was an address I haven't used for almost 8 years. I update my ad. My department, every time I move, I update it every year with my vehicle take-home agreement. And I understand the AZ Post was in contact with my agency after the time of the hearing.
Mr. Anton, one last question for you. When did you first become aware of our decision in August?
The day of, like I said, I received a call from my commander, Commander VR, who got a phone call from a background investigator, somebody called Michelle Blanco or AZ Post at the time. So I had no clue that you guys were going to hear me that day. If I did know that, obviously I'm not going to let my certification slip away. I would have contacted somebody to tell my guys the story.
Thank you, Mr. Anton. I appreciate it. Any further comments, questions?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for the officer. Did you have additional information that, based on the fact that you were a no-show or uninvolved in any potential hearing, that would compel a different version of events? Is there evidence that you possess that would expressly refute what the state is holding you accountable for in their case?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I add to that? Also, he was terminated and presented that evidence to the agency, and then they reinstated him.
Any other comments, questions?
Mr. Chairman, may I respond to that remark also. I would just point out that that is not relevant to the issue before the board, whether notice was proper. I also find it very interesting that the respondent claims he's so estranged from his daughter, who allegedly picked up this letter and assuming destroyed it, but now he was able to find out, assuming what did she tell him? Why is she not here today to give her statement or an affidavit from her saying that, you know, she got this letter and she tore it up? This is pure speculation. All we know is that AZ Post, your agency, followed the law, and the respondent didn't respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
May I also respond to that? Mr. Anson and I met last week, and I told him I'd be happy to come here with him if he gave me those two documents that I have addressed and showed Mr. Garan, and he explained to me the situation, and I said, I understand, but we don't have a leg to stand on without you reaching out to her. It was not an easy thing for him to do, but he did it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Griffin.
Questions, comments?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Hello, this is Aka of the Country. If I could just make a comment.
Hold on, ma'am. Ma'am, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you're kind of hard to hear, but can you identify yourself again for the record?
Yes, sir. This is
Acting
Assistant Chief
Tom Miguel
with the Hillary Police Department.
What police department? Hillary. Oh, I'm sorry. All right, my apologies. It's just a little bit hard to hear your voice, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, I'm
sorry about that.
Hold on, Chief, hold one second, Mr. Rance.
Again, Mr. Chairman, this is not a hearing per se. It's a motion for request for essentially a request for a hearing, or in this case, a rehearing, even though it really isn't. The issue before the board is only with your prior proceedings run by the letter of the law. And if so, the board should deny the motion. This is not necessarily a time to be hearing new evidence or evidence of any kind.
And Mr. Vatt, just to clarify from my lens, I don't think we're trying to hear the case. I know there's a question, but I don't think we're trying to hear what the grievance of the case was there sufficient reasonable notice by Pulse? And based on what you said, we've already read that and heard on that. Is anybody opposed to hearing the Chief address something with us? Chief, can I ask what the context of what you want to address the board with?
Just the relevance of when I was notified and how I was notified that Adrian's certification had been revoked by Arizona Pop. And my interaction with him immediately following that, I contacted him and informed the board to be aware of that interaction and my subsequent interaction with him regarding. And then also the process, I attended the hearing, the initial hearing with him regarding his. When the board decided to take action, the initial action to issue proceedings against him, and I was attempting to facilitate his understanding of the process, and that was very important.
Okay. Does anybody object to the Chief speaking, or wish to support the Chief?
Mr. Chair, it's Lisa. I'm having a hard time hearing the Chief. There's some kind of background noise coming from her phone.
I would agree. That's why it's hard on my end too, Lisa. So, let's... Members?
I'm going to try and get to the spot where you can hear me.
Okay, Chief. Now, it actually seemed worse.
Okay, how about now?
That's better. That's better, Chief.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I appreciate the board entertaining me just taking a few minutes of your time. So, I attended the initial hearing with Adrian so that he could understand what the process was. He understood that you all initiated proceedings and that he would be served notice via mail, typically certified mail, and he made sure that his address was updated with our agency. My biggest concern would be that, and I have no reason to believe that Adrian was served and ignored that service, just based on my continued communication with him and some of the requirements that we implemented as a part of his returning to service. When I did notify Adrian, he was his shocked, a little shocked and in disbelief. And then my interaction with him, it appeared to be genuine. He was not, I do not believe that he was aware. He and I discussed his relationship with his daughter. Once he finally determined that it was his daughter who signed for the document, and we discussed that relationship, and I too let him know that he needed to seek legal counsel. The other issue that we have is that we had been in communication with the compliance specialist. Our background investigator had been in some sort of communication with her, and they knew, Coast knew, that he had been reinstated to employment. And so there was a way for them to also subsequently reach out and let us know that there was going to be a hearing. We weren't even aware that his certification was up for hearing that day until my background investigator contacted me. And I'm not sure exactly how my background investigator got the information. If he was watching the hearing live stream, I don't know, or if he was contacted by somebody to let them know that Adrian's certification had been revoked. So I just, in erring in the side of fairness, Adrian really should be entitled to a hearing and to present the evidence that he does have. Whether that changes the outcome or not, I don't know, but I do believe that he's entitled to be heard. So I appreciate your time and respect the decision that the board makes.
Thank you, Chief. We appreciate that. Any questions?
May I respond briefly, Mr. Chairman?
You bet, Mr. Ryan.
Again, we've heard now from a representative of the department who said that the respondent was physically present in this room when this board initiated proceedings against certification. What better notice can you get than that? He literally could have requested a hearing while he left the building. Second of all, with regards to this notion of a rehearing, the chief mentioned he didn't know that his hearing was scheduled for August 17th. That's incorrect. He had to request a hearing within 30 days. He did not do that. So his case was here for final action because he had not requested a hearing during the statutory time frame. Excuse me. And again, there's been talk about due process. His due process was complied with pursuant to Arizona law and all of the case law. I'm looking at least two cases here, Oporoku v. Arizona State Nurse Board of Nursing, almost identical set of facts, and the Court of Appeals upheld the revocation of the nursing license. And there are other cases. And if you have any additional questions from a legal standpoint, I would refer you to your independent advisor. But from a legal standpoint, Arizona Post did everything that it was required to do by law. The respondent was negligent in not requesting a hearing during the 30 days. And I'll rest on it.
Thank you, Mr. Durant. All right, board members, any further discussion between members? If not, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, it's Lisa. I'm sorry, I just have a quick question. I may have missed it in some of the conversation before. Was the chief saying that she is avowing that the daughter never gave the officer the information?
I don't know if she clarified that. What she's stating is that she don't believe the daughter. I hate to be the one to double speak on this, but that she didn't believe that she was aware of that hearing, is how she put it.
Let me follow that up. Can the chief clarify that Hero River did not forward the change of address information to Asquest?
Chief, are you still on the phone?
Yes. Yes, sir, I am.
Did you hear the question by a board member?
Yes, I did. I don't know if the change of address was updated in the Post portal or not. That would be something that I would have to look into. But it appears that Post doesn't have that current address on file, that it would not have been updated on our end.
Lisa,
and that's entirely possible.
Thank you, Chief. Did you hear that, Lisa?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I don't want to beat a dead horse.
I know where you're going.
It's incumbent upon the respondent to update his address with Arizona Post. And again, we have no evidence. We know that this letter was delivered to a residence associated with him to a family member. We have no evidence that there was some sort of malfeasance that prevented that letter from being delivered. Again, an affidavit, some proof that he didn't get it. I would argue, even if that were the case, the law is still clear. It doesn't matter. but we don't even have that, and I promise that's enough.
No, I got you. Thank you, Mr. Duran. We hear you loud and clear. Any other comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Jamie Kelly. I move to deny the respondent's request for an additional hearing.
Thank you, Jamie. Do I hear a second?
A second.
Thank you, Colonel.
No.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, stand saying aye.
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 All opposed, stand saying nay.
Nay.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Counselor. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Anton. Next case on the agenda. 2020-125. Mr. Graham, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And can I just clarify if the respondent, Mr. James, are you on the line, sir?
Mike, sorry.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Arizona Post staff and the respondent, Harold James, offer the attached consent agreement for your review and approval. The respondent is not present, but he is represented by his attorney, Mike Story, who is here virtually. The respondent is currently a chief with the Pima County Sheriff's Department. The board voted to initiate proceedings against respondent's peace officer certification at your meeting on January 19th of this year. In order to settle this matter, the respondent has acknowledged the following. In 2019, respondent was a captain with the Pima County Sheriff's Department and was tasked with conducting a disciplinary investigation involving one of his subordinates. At the conclusion of the investigation, respondent made two suspension recommendations regarding the conduct in writing and orally to then Sheriff Napier, which included a recommendation for a 3-day suspension. Respondent represented to the sheriff that he agreed with this suspension recommendation and it was imposed upon the employee. The employee appealed the suspension, which led to the respondent testifying under oath at a LEMSIC Law Enforcement Merit System Council hearing. At that hearing, he testified that he did not agree with the disciplinary recommendation. Rather, respondent claimed he was ordered to recommend that suspension. Due to the inconsistencies in those two statements, Pima County requested DPS investigate, conduct an internal investigation. During that investigation, respondent admitted that he was not forthright during his conversation with the sheriff about his true feelings about the imposition of the 3-day suspension and failed to alert his superiors, pardon me, about his misgivings prior to providing his contradictory sworn statement. Respondent admits that this conduct was in violation of post rules, specifically 13.4, 109.88, and 12. The parties have agreed that the board will suspend respondent's peace officer certification for a period of 12 months during the dates listed in the agreement. This proposal is within the range of permissible discipline, and the parties request you approve this agreement to resolve this case, and I'm happy to answer any factual questions.
Thank you, Mr. Duran. Any questions for Mr. Duran? Hearing none. Good morning, Mr. Story. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. So I'll turn it over to you, sir.
I think Gino's handled it well. Anyone have any questions for me?
Any questions for Mr. Story? Hearing none. I'll turn it over to members here for discussion or motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion.
Go ahead, Professor.
I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for a 12-month suspension of Mr. James's peace officer certification, retroactively beginning July 3rd, 2021, and ending October 4th, 2021, and prospectively beginning October 24th, 2022, and ending July 24th of 2023.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Second, sir.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All opposed, say saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Short. All right, next thank you. 2022-056. Mr. Duran, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Arizona Post staff and the respondent, Quentin Slaughter, offer the attached consent agreement for your review and approval. The respondent is not present today, but he is represented by his attorney, Dale Norris, who is present. The board voted to initiate proceedings against respondent's peace officer certification at your meeting on June 15th of this year. Respondent is a former Arizona DPS trooper. In order to settle this matter, pardon me, the respondent has acknowledged the following. While in the DPS FTO program, it became apparent that respondent was having issues with his vision. such as having difficulty reading license plates. Based on these observations, the respondent's captain ordered him to visit his eye doctor on his days off to address the issue. Upon returning to duty, after his regular days off, respondent told his FTO, as well as his captain, that he had in fact visited the eye doctor. However, when the vision problems persisted, he admitted to his superiors that he had not, in fact, visited the eye doctor. DPS initiated an internal investigation, but respondent resigned soon thereafter. Respondent admits that his conduct was in violation of post rules, specifically 13.4109A8 and 12. The parties have agreed that the board will suspend respondent's peace officer certification for a period of 12 months during the dates listed. This proposal is within the range of permissible discipline, and the parties request you approve this agreement to resolve the case. And I'm happy to answer any factual questions.
I recuse myself on this case.
For record, DPS is from Colonel recused. Any questions for Mr. Dwayne? There are none. Mr. Norris, would you like to address the board? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, here and other places. Thank you so much for hearing from me. I'm going to be super brief here. Quentin is not here today, but if the board were to feel that they needed to hear from him, could appear at a later meeting, just to let you know that. He has been contrite about what occurred in this case since he advised the DPS what he had done. He realizes that although he was in a very tricky situation at that time, he clearly could have done better things and has learned an enormous lesson from this and hopes that the board will accept his apologies and accept this agreement as proposed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Norris. Any questions for Mr. Norris? Hearing none, any further discussion? I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Lisa.
I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for a 12-month suspension of Mr. Sauter's peace officer certification beginning February 16th, 2022 and ending February 16th, 2023.
Thank you, Lisa. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thanks. A couple seconds here. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, saying aye.
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 All opposed, saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Norris. Next case. 2021-074. Ms. Hans, good morning. The floor is yours.
So it's just for the record, it's actually Ms. Heckel. She's filling in for Ms. Hawes.
Oh.
Sorry, we didn't update your agenda. I apologize. This case will be handled by Ms. Heckel, and the next case will be handled by Mr. Tvorak.
Well, that falls back on me. I know the difference. That's the program to me based on agenda. My apologies.
I should never let that happen to you, sir.
We'll sustain them, fellas.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Arlene Heck, I'm one of your compliance specialists, and I will be presenting this final action case for compliance specialist Kathy Hawes. The board originally heard this case during the July 2022 board meeting where the board voted to initiate proceedings. I will give a brief recap of this case. Deputy Canizales worked for the Pima County Sheriff's Department from August 27th of 2006 until April 16th, 2021. On January 10th, 2021, Pima County Sheriff's deputies responded to a call of a vehicle stopped facing westbound in the eastbound lanes at the intersection of Ralroth Road and LaToya Boulevard in Pima County. The driver was passed out in the driver's seat. Responding officers recognized the driver as Deputy Michael Canizales. Deputies initiated a DUI investigation after Deputy Canizales showed multiple signs of impairment. He was arrested for aggravated DUI, wrongly driving while under the influence, a Class 4 felony. Canizales refused all DUI tests, however, advised he would submit to a blood draw. He was transported to the Pima County Adult Detention Center where he was booked on the aggravated DUI. The results of the blood draw came back at a 0.286 blood alcohol concentration. On January 25th, 2021, an internal affairs investigation was initiated. On April 16, 2021, Deputy Canizales retired from the department prior to ever being interviewed for that internal investigation. On May 3, 2022, Canizales pled guilty in an amended court count of driving or actual physical control while under the extreme influence of liquor, a Class 1 misdemeanor. He was placed on probation for a period of 18 months beginning May 2, 2022. Proposed policy complaint notices were mailed to former Deputy Gonzalez by both regular and certified U.S. mail to his address of record. The notice sent by regular mail has not been returned to post, and the certified letter was delivered on July 27, 2022. To date, neither Deputy Gonzalez nor anyone representing him has requested a hearing or contacted Arizona Post staff. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board suspend peace officer certification for 24 months, beginning April 16, 2021 through April 16, 2023, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Heckel. Any questions? If not, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and suspend Mr. Canales' peace officer certification for 24 months, beginning April 16, 2021, and ending April 16, 2023.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Jamie. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, same saying aye.
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 All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-220. Let's go back. Oh, we're switching again. All right, here we go. See, I saw it that time, but you guys were reading. It's good.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Dave Deporek, one of your compliance specialists. I will be presenting this final action for compliance specialist Kathy Hawes. This case involving former Tucson Police Department officer Paul Lee was originally presented to the board at the June 15, 2022 meeting where the board voted to initiate proceedings. Complaint notices were mailed to Officer Lee by both regular and certified U.S. mail to his address of record. The notice sent by regular mail was not returned to Arizona Post. However, the certified letter was returned to Arizona Post as vacant, unable to forward. On July 26, 2022, Compliance Specialist Haas spoke to Officer Lee, who claimed he had never received any letters. He verified his address, which is the address that we had on record at Arizona Post. A copy of the complaint was emailed to Officer Lee on July 26, 2022. And on July 27, 2022, he verified he did receive the complaint that was sent to him on the 26th. At that time, he was informed he had 30 days from that date to request a hearing. To date, neither Officer Lee or anyone representing him has requested a hearing or contacted Arizona Post staff. To refresh your memories, in July 2021, Officer Paul Lee was summoned to the Tucson Police Department Office of Professional Standards for an investigation regarding his unauthorized involvement with a possible suspect of an armed robbery, Amanda, and his failure to write a supplemental report, submit photographs taken of the evidence on that robbery call, or impound a sweatshirt possibly belonging to Amanda. Officer Lee made statements to Amanda about previously working for a strip club, which was documented on his body-worn camera when he took Amanda to a local Jack in the Box and bought her food. During the Office of Professional Standards interview, investigators determined Officer Lee violated multiple procedural policies and their untruthfulness policy by omitting employment information during his hiring background investigation, which, if discovered, would have been grounds for disqualification from the hiring process. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board revoke peace officer certification, and I'd be happy to try and answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Board. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to accept the findings of facts and conclusions of law and revoke Mr. Lee's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Director. Do I hear a second?
Chairman Robinson, second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Support. Next case under new cases. First case 2022-043. Blanco, good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Michelle Blanco, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves former Arizona Department of Transportation Captain Bernadine Rodriguez. On January 18, 2022, a man named Xavier was arrested by the Phoenix Police Department for an outstanding felony warrant during a traffic stop. Officers located a Glock Model 22 40 caliber handgun under the driver's seat where Xavier, a prohibited possessor, was seated. Xavier requested officers to contact his aunt, Captain Rodriguez, and refused to tell officers where he obtained the handgun. A Phoenix officer contacted Captain Rodriguez to inform her about Xavier's arrest, and the conversation was captured on the officer's body-worn camera. Captain Rodriguez asked if there was a firearm in the vehicle and if it was a Glock 40. She stated it was her duty weapon, which she purchased from the agency. Captain Rodriguez told the officer she gave the handgun to her nephew to keep in his room, but it was to never leave the house. She stated she gave it to him to protect himself when she was not at home. Based on this information, Phoenix Police Department initiated a criminal investigation against Captain Rodriguez. During her criminal interview, she changed her statement and stated she was referring to a rifle which was located in Xavier's room prior to him moving into her residence and not the Glock 40 handgun she initially referred to. Captain Rodriguez also provided conflicting statements during her ADOT administrative interviews when she continued to state that she was referring to a rifle which was in Xavier's room, not the Glock 40. Captain Rodriguez was terminated from ADOT on March 8, 2022 for providing a firearm to a prohibited possessor, providing false and misleading statements during her internal investigation. Captain Rodriguez was charged with transferring a deadly weapon to a prohibited possessor, a Class 6 felony. Captain Rodriguez entered into a felony diversion program and, as part of entering into that program, wrote a statement that read, in part, her actions constituted a transfer of weapon to a prohibited possessor in violation of Arizona state law. Based on the facts of this case, Arizona staff or AC Post staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions? If not, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move to initiate proceedings against Ms. Rodriguez, Peace Officer Certification.
Thank you, Commander. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it, sir.
Thank you, Detective. Any further discussion? Here are none. All favor of the motion, same as saying aye.
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 All opposed, same as saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Lunkel. Next case, 2022-155. Ms. Delton. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Mike Delton, Winfield Compliance Specialist. My case involves former Phoenix PD officer Oscar Ramirez Guevara. On May 17, 2021, Officer Ramirez Guevara failed a random drug screen after the dangerous drug MDMA was found present in his urine. The quantity of the MDMA identified in Ramirez Guevara's system was over six times the cutoff threshold. Ramirez Guevara told investigators he did not know how the substance entered into his system. On September 1st, 2021, Officer Ramirez Guevara was terminated. On November 17th, 2021, AZ Post case 2021-157 was presented to the AZ Post board regarding the MDMA drug screen. The board did not take action and voted to resolve the case in the future. On April 5th, 2022, Officer Ramirez Guevara was rehired and appointed by the Phoenix PD and entered into a last chance agreement with the department. On May 3, 2022, pursuant to a last chance agreement, Officer Ramirez Guevara submitted to a City of Phoenix sponsored hair specimen drug screen. The drug screen resulted in a positive test for the presence of cocaine. On May 11, 2022, after the medical review officer notified Ramirez Guevara of his results, Ramirez Guevara scheduled an independent hair sample drug screen, and that independent screen was negative. Phoenix PD's investigation sustained the allegation of Officer Ramirez Guevara tested positive for cocaine on September 12, 2022. Ramirez Guevara's employment was then terminated. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Delton. Any questions? Not entertain a motion.
Move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Ramirez Guevara's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Colonel. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Ken Robinson, I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all favor of the motion, same as saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same as saying nay.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Dalton. Next case 2022-111. Mr. Shea, good morning.
Tim Shea, appliance specialist. I'll be presenting the case involving Garrett Smith, formerly of Preston Police Department. During March 2022, Officer Smith responded to an indecent exposure call at a local motel. While waiting for his backup to arrive, Officer Smith took a position outside the motel room door. Before the backup could arrive, the suspect opened the door and stood just inside the threshold. Officer Smith approached and told the suspect to come outside and talk with him. As Officer Smith reached the doorway, his right hand made contact with the suspect's chest, propelling the suspect rearward into the room, causing him to fall onto his back and strike his head on a nightstand. Dale, if you can play the video, I'm going to show a video of that contact. Eventually placed the suspect in handcuffs with the assistance of his backup officer, who arrived approximately 1 minute later. A few minutes after that, a patrol sergeant arrived and asked Officer Smith what happened. Officer Smith told the sergeant that he tried to grab onto the suspect, but that he was so drunk that he fell over. We're going to play a video now of his contact with the sergeant and what he told him.
Yeah, just 1 minute.
You okay?
Yeah, we're good.
What's going on?
So, the exposure incident,
okay.
He comes out, he's dressed now, these two witnesses, which are now gone, but they said he was fully naked, okay. But he came out a few times, he was waiting for the channel to clear out, he comes walking out, and say, hey man, come talk to me, he's like, no, fuck you, go slam the door, and then I go grab onto him, and he's so drunk, he falls over, and then he tries, he's so drunk, he's not like fighting me, but he's resisting arrest. So we get him in the handcuff. That's when they were showing up. So.
Officer Smith later watched his body camera video while writing his incident report. In the report, he wrote, quote, when contacted by law enforcement, the suspect was extremely intoxicated and attempted to slam the door on officers. The suspect then fell backwards onto his back. Officer Smith also wrote that he tried to grab onto the door of the room to prevent it from closing, and simultaneously tried to grab onto the suspect's shirt and pull him out of the room. Specifically, he wrote, quote, I attempted to grab onto the suspect's shirt and pull him out of the room. As I touched the suspect, he immediately fell backwards as he was unable to balance due to his intoxication level. The suspect fell backwards onto the floor of his room. Officer Smith told IA investigators he did not impact push the suspect and he did not forcefully push him to the ground, and described the suspect as, quote, falling straight down. He also told investigators his intention was to grab onto the suspect, and he thinks a combination of the suspect's intoxication and Officer Smith being, quote, more amped up than I realized, contributed to what occurred. Preston Police Department Use of Force Board found Officer Smith's use of force to be out of policy and said Officer Smith's decision to immediately go with an impact push, which is considered a strike, considering the lack of resistance being offered by the suspect, is outside any police-specific defensive tactics training. Arizona Postmaster instructors reviewed the body camera video and determined the force used by Officer Smith during his initial contact with the suspect was not in accordance with Arizona Post defensive tactics training and was not reasonable based upon the suspect's actions. The Prescott Police Department sustained the following policy violations. Officer Smith made false or misleading statements in his incident report, made a false verbal report to a supervisor, used unreasonable and unwarranted force on a suspect, and failed to notify his supervisor of his use of force. Prescott Police Department investigation recommended Officer Smith be terminated. Officer Smith chose to resign at the end of the investigation. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings. Be happy to answer any questions or show any additional video.
Thank you, Mr. Shea. Any questions?
Tim, I have a question. Just watching that video, was the guy even wearing a shirt?
He was wearing a shirt, but it was open.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so when he went down, that's what my last recollection was, all right?
And if anybody has any questions on that video, I do have a slow motion version available, if that matters.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can we see that one more time, please?
Sure. Maybe a slow version?
Sure. Thank you.
All
opposite, say nay. Chair votes aye. We're now going to executive session. I would ask that your deputy relate to this matter that you exited. Thank you, everybody.
Mr. Chairman, if I could make just one announcement, since this is the end of the meeting, we're going to go in executive session, so we'll be turning off the live feed. For those of you watching on the live stream, we will not be coming back in to the regular meeting because the meeting, in essence, will be over at the end of the executive session.
Thank you, everyone. We're out of executive session, back in regular session. Any final thoughts for membership before we close our meeting today?
Yeah, are you up? Back on the public?
We're not. We made the announcement we're not going back.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It's, we can open the door. It's a public meeting.
Okay, we're back in public meeting.
Thanks, Director. Lisa, this is Lisa. Mr. Chair, to comply with open meeting law, do we not need to invite the public back online in order to adjourn?
Lisa, actually, our live stream is just a nice that we offer to the public. Our meet door to the lobby, and anyone in the public is more than welcome to walk back in now. So I believe we've met our statutory burden.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Keep us safe, and thank you, Director. Thank you, everybody, for a great meeting today, and I'll take a motion to adjourn, even though we don't really need that.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
What about Kevin?